There we go. It's on now. I have one pre-service announcement this morning. Peggy gave it to me about the breakfast and board games. And it is the junior high and senior high youth group members inviting the senior members of the congregation to join them today in the fellowship hall at 11:45 this morning for breakfast and board games. And she says even if you forgot to sign up last week, you can still attend. And it is asked that the youth group members arrive at about 11:15 this morning, unless... Well, I guess... How do I do this, Peggy? Unless you're at second service. But if they're at first service, there won't be a second service. So they're already sitting here. But anyway, we'll say it out loud anyway. If you're at a second service, come on right on over after second service. So breakfast and board games. And that's... we have a makeup for that this morning. It was supposed to be a couple months ago. So it's always an enjoyable time with some card games, some Uno, some board games, and some breakfast between the youth groups and the senior citizens of the congregation. Let's turn to our opening hymn, O Day Full of Grace, our opening hymn for this Trinity Sunday.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the June 12, 2022 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this morning's broadcast are Dennis Knauer, Linda McEwen, and Brian Featon. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman, and the opening hymn is number 503, O Day of Full Grace, hymn number 503, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Steve and Donna Sauer are sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast to the glory of God in honor of their 53 years of marriage.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of your holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with our responsive song. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place.
What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?
Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor.
You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet.
All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field.
The birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God on high. Thank you. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity and the power of divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this Trinity Sunday from the book of Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of all the portals, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I walked beside him like a master workman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. This is the word of the Lord. The Catechetical Review. In regards to the sacrament of holy baptism, how can water do such great things? Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water is plain water and no baptism, but with the Word of God, it is a baptism. That is a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of new birth in the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. We will now hear from our choir the hymn Sanctus. second reading this morning from the book of Acts, the second chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. The Jews answered Jesus, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, and yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died, and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. And so the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord. This Trinity Sunday, we confess our Christian faith with the confessing of the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will, without doubt, perish eternally.
And the Catholic faith is this.
unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But the Godhead of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is with right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead.
Ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds.
And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
Please be seated. At this time, if any children would like to come forward for a children's message, they're certainly welcome to do so. Children, good morning to you. I want to ask you to think for a smidge of time, just a little bit, about Moses, right? Moses built the ark, right? What? No. Noah built the ark, didn't he? Moses was in Egypt, right? And then he had to flee Egypt. And he went to a place called Midian, and he was a shepherd while he was in Midian. And, well, we have this important story, not a story, a historical account of Moses, that he was watching his father-in-law's sheep, and he was out taking care of them, and he looks over. He sees something on fire. What's he see on fire? Anybody remember? You remember what he sees on fire? Como? He sees a bush on fire, a burning bush. He says, "This is amazing. I think that I will go and see this site, why the bush is on fire and it doesn't burn up." So he goes over and he goes to see it, and a voice comes out of the bush, and the voice says to him, "Moses, take off your shoes, for the place where you're standing is holy ground." And so Moses does that, and he gets a mission. His mission is to go and take the people of Israel, God's people, out of Egypt. Now Moses is all worked up about this. He's like, I don't speak well. Well, I'll give you your brother Aaron for help. He can talk for you. Moses is still a little flustered. And he says, "Oh, ask you, object. I can't do this. Finally, God." He says, "Well, if the people ask, who sent me to do this, who shall I say sent me?" And the voice from the burning bush says, "You tell the people when they ask who sent you, you say, I am has sent you." I am. That's how God identifies himself. That's how God wants us to know him. He just is. He's the God who exists. He's the God who is. He's the God who always has been. He's the God who always will be. He's always been there. He is the God who created and made everything. He even created time. He's outside of time. And then we fast forward a couple thousand years to Jesus. And Jesus is talking to the Jews, and they're like, "Who do you think you are to tell us all these things?" They have this conversation. And then he said, "Your father Abraham," saying to the Jewish people, "your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And they getting all kind of like, "Who do you think you are?" He says, "You're not even 50 years old yet. You tell us you saw Abraham, you knew Abraham. He lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago." And Jesus says to them, "I tell you what, before Abraham was, I am." Do you know what Jesus was doing at that moment when he said the words, "I am"? You know who he was claiming to be at that moment? He said, "I am." And they knew immediately what he meant. He said to the Jews, "I am God. I was the one who was speaking to Moses out of the burning bush. I am. I am the one who always was, who always will be, and who always has been. He is God." Now they were very upset. They tried to kill him, and he just kind of hid himself. However that means, maybe he just kind of did a little miracle there, I don't know, and they couldn't find him, or his disciples gathered around him, and he walked out so nobody could throw rocks at him. However that happened, that's not important. But it wasn't his time yet to be killed. We know how Jesus was killed. We know he was killed on the cross. He died on the cross for all of our sins. And that means that when you turn around, and you look at that cross that has a depiction of Jesus on it, you can really say, God died for me. That is a reminder. It helps us remember what happened. God died for me. He shed his blood. But, I'll ask you this question, since you've remembered who Moses was. Did he stay dead? No. No, he didn't. Wesley, when did Jesus rise from the grave? Yes! He rose on Easter Sunday. He did not stay dead. He rose from the grave. Jesus is the God who was born for us at Christmas, who lived a perfect life for us in our place, who died an innocent death for each and every one of us, who did not stay dead, and who rose again from the grave. Jesus is God in the flesh. And for that, we are very thankful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your dear Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to be holy and righteous and perfect in our place, to fulfill your will and your law, to die an innocent death and to rise again so that we might have life, knowing that our sins are paid for. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who has caused all of this to be written down in the Holy Scriptures so that we might know and believe that Jesus is exactly who he says he is, the great I Am. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming down. If you would, please return to your families in your pews, and we will all continue with the singing of the next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 940, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name, hymn number 940, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
the sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. "If I were to say I did not know him," said Jesus, "I would be a liar like you. But I know him, and I keep his word. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." The words of our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Amen. I do want you to know this morning, I do this thing here because I am fully and completely convinced of the truth of the doctrine of our church, of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, its teaching, that it is fully and truly and wholly in accord with the Holy Scriptures. And that's very important to know, because I'm equally as convinced that what hangs in the balance is eternal life or eternal death. And that's very, very important. If we get this wrong, eternal death is the result. Now, the text for today includes some very stunning comments of Jesus. First, now, I don't know if you ever get this thing where you read stuff so often you just kind of gloss through it, or you're reading it but you don't catch it right away. This is one of the things that I caught this week. First, right, he's talking to a crowd of people, and he's comfortable calling them liars. That's bold. Yeah, if I said I didn't know my father, I'd be a liar just like you are. Oh my goodness. That's confidence of what he says and who he is. He knows truth. He knows the truth. And then later on, when he says, "Before Abraham was, I am," he proclaims himself to be God. Now, when it comes to religions and or denominations, each and every one of them are making truth claims. And not everybody can be right, and not everybody can be correct. Somebody is right and somebody is wrong. And I know I could not stand here and proclaim God's word publicly if I was not fully convinced that our doctrine is right and true and in full accord with what the Holy Scriptures tells us. And if any man in this pulpit or another pulpit, or for that matter, anyone who teaches or preaches contrary to the word, that person, that individual, that denomination would be found to be misrepresenting God and would be guilty of lying about God. It is Trinity Sunday, and the Christian church confesses God to be triune: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, one God. If anyone were to deny the Trinity, they cannot claim to be Christian. They can be something else, but they are not Christians. This is what the creeds proclaim to us as they express in short form the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. The Apostles' Creed grew out of the teaching of the Apostles and expresses rightly and correctly what an Orthodox Christian believes. The Nicene Creed, produced by the Council of Nicaea, combats the Arian heresy, a heresy which taught that Jesus was not true God. The Nicene Creed also, you will notice in its third article, defends rightly the divinity of the Holy Spirit. The Athanasian Creed, which we confess today, named after Athanasius, a strong defender of the true faith against the Arian heresy, is very clear what the Catholic faith is. And you will note, small c, Catholic, meaning the universal faith. In other words, what the universal church of all times and all places believes. This boldly Trinitarian creed ends with the words, "This is the Catholic or universal faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved." It doesn't say might not be saved, is in danger. It's very emphatic and very clear. Cannot be saved. Now, the creeds are not scripture. But we confess them because they are in full accord with what Scripture teaches. If we stray from Scripture, we become false witnesses about our God. It's just like St. Paul expresses to the church in Corinth regarding the resurrection of the dead. He says, if we preach Christ rose from the dead, how can some of you say the dead don't rise? If the dead don't rise, then Christ didn't rise. And if Christ didn't rise, our preaching is useless. It's vain. It means nothing at all. And your faith means nothing. And we stand here as men who lied about God. And there's that word again, who lied about God. It's either true or it's a lie. There isn't any in between. Because we testified about God that He raised Jesus from the dead. But now Christ did rise from the dead, the first in the harvest of those who are sleeping in their graves. The source of all Christian doctrine, and yes, doctrine is exceptionally important, the source of all Christian doctrine is the Holy Scriptures. And doctrine is important and it's worth contending for. All Scripture tells, St. Paul tells Timothy, is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And St. Peter also writes, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you would do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until that day dawns, the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, Peter goes on, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture ever came about by a prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but the prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God, through the Holy Spirit, caused the Holy Bible to be written down for us. Therefore, Scripture alone is sufficient. Scripture is the infallible truth of God which creates and informs faith. And it is not the other way around. We do not come to faith first and then find the Scriptures. We come to faith through the Word of God, through the Scriptures. And the great travesty of much of modern Christianity is that they put the Scripture second and the person first. Is that people are taught to look to their faith first, to the self first, and the Word second. And that would be making you, me, a person, as an individual, the starting point. Instead, the starting point of all faith should be the Word of God. The Word of God that is inspired by the Holy Spirit and written down by the prophets and the apostles. There are indeed entire church bodies that say that the Bible only contains the Word of God. If it only contains the Word of God and it is not all the Word of God, then it brings a very important question. Who decides which part is the Word and which part isn't the Word? Who decides which part is inspired and which part isn't inspired? It is up then to fallen human reason to make that decision. And then you get foolish comments like, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. Foolishness. And worse yet, many may be brought to say, like Pontius Pilate, what is truth? I make of truth what I will make of it myself. The denial of the divine inspiration of the Holy Bible brings with it a lack of certainty and a lack of understanding of the Christian faith. And in its place, it puts human opinions over and on top of the text of the Bible. What did Jesus say in our text for today? If a man keeps my words, he will never taste death. If the Bible then isn't the Word of God, or the Bible is only partly the Word of God, how can a person keep the words of Jesus? And then where would eternal life be? Eternal life would be forfeit. Therefore, when approaching the Word of God, it should never be, I think, or I feel. The question is always and ever, what does the Word say? Or the declaration is, the Word says. For it is all God's Word.
The Holy Spirit of God does not act on a person outside or apart from the Word that has been given under divine inspiration. And any pastor, preacher, theologian, or teacher of the church who denies the infallibility of the Holy Scriptures makes experience and feelings the source of Christian doctrine. And they are sadly wrong and in error, and only serve to draw their hearers further and further away from the Word of God. And not just drawing them further away from the Word on the page, but they are drawing them further away from the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity. For without the Word that is written, we would not have witness to the Word who is in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the one who is. And that's right. Jesus is the one who is. He is. The Lord Jesus of Himself says, I am. Jesus, Son of God and Son of Mary, is true God in the flesh. He declares in the presence of the people that He is the one who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. Why do you think the people wanted to kill Him? They knew exactly what He meant and what He said when He said, before Abraham was, I am. He is saying, I'm God. I am the Creator. I am the one who brought all into existence. The people ask, who sent me? What do I say to them, said Moses? You tell them, Jesus said from the burning bush, because it was Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, speaking to Moses, I am, has sent you. He, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Mary, is the God who exists. He is the Word of whom John spoke. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing has been made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus says of Himself, I and the Father are one. Jesus shows a divine omnipotence. He says, the Father gives me my sheep, and I give them eternal life. Jesus gives eternal life. Jesus simply was before the world began. As we read in John 17, the glory I had with the Father before the world was. And in Hebrews chapter 1, all things were made by Him. And in Colossians chapter 1, by Him all things were created, and in Him all things consist. This Jesus, this Word of God made flesh. This Jesus is your Jesus. Your Savior. This Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. It is this Jesus who shed His blood for you on Calvary's cross. It is this Jesus who gives you eternal life, and by His wounds you are healed. Any Jesus less than that is not a Jesus of the Word of God. Any Jesus less than that is a wrong Jesus. Any other Jesus is quite simply a lie. So let us, in this congregation, in this building, in this denomination, in this pulpit, and in this church, let us never be found to be false witnesses on Jesus Christ, but let us always proclaim the truth of who He is. And in that Jesus' name, Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
Have been sharing in the 8 a.m. worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver this morning's message. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 a.m. over WLLM 1370 a.m. or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us now rise for prayer. Almighty God, blessed be your holy name for revealing to us the mystery of the Holy Trinity, that you are three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet one Almighty God. Through this Trinity, though this Trinity is above our comprehension, we pray that as you have revealed yourself in this way in Holy Scripture, we would ever remain steadfast in this true doctrine. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father, you have revealed to us in the Bible the true doctrine. Preserve us in this truth and protect us so that no false teachers would come amongst this flock and lead us astray. Keep us firm in your blessed word as the only source and guide of Christian faith and life until your Son Jesus returns in glory. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, in your mercy you have called Marilyn Clockengay to her heavenly rest, where she now waits in glory for the resurrection of the dead. Comfort, we beg you, Don and his family as they grieve for Marilyn, and we pray that you would grant them that peace which passes all understanding, so that in all things their faith and confidence be ever in you. Lord, in your mercy. As we come into your presence this day, O God, hear our prayers for our nation and all the nations of the world. Both our country and the world are filled with misery, violence, war, and bloodshed. The only cure for this is that mankind's collective heart be changed. Therefore, we beg you, O Lord, to make us bold, to proclaim law and gospel to the salvation of souls and to the reformation of our lives. Save us, O God, for in you do we place our trust. All these things we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them. Read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may ever embrace and hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace. Amen.
The closing hymn is number 506, Glory Be to God the Father, hymn number 506, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please remember to stop by the Vacation Bible School table. Anything to add to that, Megan?
Not for Vacation Bible School, but for our flea market that we had yesterday at school.
Okay. Again, thank you to everybody who pitched in and helped out Zach, whether through donations or in any other manner. Also, as you exit today, if you did not get a voter's guide or a voter information guide, there's still some out there. I think Mr. Opperman will be out there handing them out if you did not get one last week. And may the Lord bless all of you, your comings in and your goings out, from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.